Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag @2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
All across the United States, young people are bombarded with new technology, social ideas, self-indulging apparatus and products, and the free-for-all mentality. Now, with 24-hour media shooting all kinds of suggestions their way on a daily, hourly basis, there's pressure for them to make choices. Unfortunately, for most of these young people, there is little to no pro-social development that prepares them and has them focused and disciplined not to get caught up in the wrong things. The result of not being well-rounded and easily influenced makes it easy to upset a misguided, intemperate young person and to take their head out of the game. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful for you to join us tonight, those who will. And we're talking from the topic, making calculated choices in life. Making calculated choices in life. Anybody that's been around for a while will tell you that in life, some things go like you want them. Oftentimes, they don't. But either way, the minute you step out your door, out of your safety net, you take a chance. There's some sort of risk. What responsible people do is to work hard to prepare themselves to minimize those risks. So we're talking from the topic again, making calculated choices in life. This is June 22nd. Can you believe that? 2021. The month's pretty much gone. Okay? Cut it out. It's a loss. Chalk it up as a loss. And as we said, we're speaking tonight from the topic, making calculated choices in life. Bear with me for a minute. If you're new to the show, I offer a monologue when we're not having open dialogue. And that monologue helps bring context to the discussion that we'll have tonight. And we'll enable me to keep us focused and to have meaningful conversation. Your input and others' input, with structure will allow our listening audience to walk away with some sort of conclusion that is rational and reasonable. All right? Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, verses 10 and 11, interestingly enough, reads like this. Verse 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." I just want to put a pin right there. It says, whatever you do, do it the best you can. Whatever you choose to do, do the best you can with it. Huh? There is no work. There is no opportunity when you die. Okay. Verse 11 says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all." Time and chance. Some people assume that just because my daddy did it, my granddaddy did it, my mama, my grandmama did it, automatically that means I'm going to be successful. Wrong answer. Time and chance befalls all of us. How we respond to it makes a difference on our success or failure. So when you make choices, do your best at it. Because when you're gone, you're gone. It's over. Let's talk about really competition of life in the context of a game. Think about a game model. It calls for players, at least two or more, to interact with one another in the system of the game itself. Generally, the objectives are the motivators for the players who are engaging in this competition. See, and the objectives and the various outlines for the competition has certain methods that everybody got to follow. You see, there are guidelines that are specific to the competition, certain sources or things that you would use specifically in the competition. There is a discord. Intentionally, you're not trying to be friends with one another. You're not trying to give the game over. You're trying to win the game. This is what brings the motivation here. So there's some discord automatically in the competition by nature. But at the same time, beloved, there are limitations. There are boundaries that you can't go outside of, or you will get a whistle blown on you. All right? At the end is the aftermath of all of your sweat and your effort in the competition. This is the part that some people go home with their head hung down, frustrated and angry with the world because they did not win. So they would say, you hear what the text says? Look what the text is, verse 11. "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not given to the fastest." I'm paraphrasing. "The battle to the strong, but to those people in summation who can maintain themselves and deal with time and chance." That's what's most important. And if we teach that to our young people today in 2021, that, yes, life may throw a curveball at you from time to time, but the most important thing for you to do is to manage time and chance. Whatever the time is that you have and the chances that you may or may not meet your goal. Here's the thing. What we can benefit from is future generations, or previous generations, I should say, who have learned certain things about the competition, and they can pass them on to you. So there's a need for communication, education, information to be passed down from one generation to the next so that they won't have to keep on repeating the same mistake in the same competition, same game. But we all going to make some choices. It's about making a calculated choice. And with those choices comes some risk. Risk that you fail and the risk that comes with being successful. Question is, how calculated are your risks or your choices? Games are generally characterized by their apparatus that I was alluding to earlier. They're often defined by the rules that are set for them. These rules are subject to variations, right, and even to change. And if you find that you change the rules enough, you might even fool around and have a totally different game. There are some people today who are advocating that we change the rules of society in America because they've been deprived, because they've been wrong, because they've been hurt, that we change the whole rule of the game and how everything operates just so they can be happy. Beloved, don't you know that that's not going to work? Not a very mature thought. As opposed to taking the time to learn those rules, understand them enough for mastery and increasing your chance of success in the game, you waste your time fighting for something that is not realistic. Okay? Now, some games deliberately involve the changing of the rules. It's intentional. You might not like that. As a responsible adult, guess what you learn to do? To prepare yourself for the curveballs. You know the game Dodgeball? Yeah, yeah. That's part of the game, for you to have to move and jump and turn. I think you understand what I'm saying. The generally, these rules generally determine the order and the turnout of the game, and basically each player has a responsibility to know them. When there's a coach, the coach is there to guide the players and to keep them focused on following the rules, staying in bounds, utilizing all the resources that are there for competition. It's a coach's job. Huh? Now, when you don't have a life coach from the time you're born, that being your father and your mother or some surrogate figure, it's difficult for you to get up to a chronological age of expected maturity and you don't have a clue. Huh? People sitting there expecting you to do certain things to understand how things go, and nobody's taking the time to introduce that to you. It's not your fault. However, you will suffer from it. Why? Because when you're in this competition we call life in our society, yes, America is a capitalistic society. Absolutely. Am I going to change that? Are you going to change that? Probably not in your lifetime. Then what do you do, Dr. Lee? I suggest that you focus on learning and understanding and mastering the rules of the capitalistic game in America. And ask yourself, what is it that I am looking for in this thing? Sometimes you may just say, I don't want to play that game. That comes with consequences, too. That choice comes with consequences, too. Some people don't want to work in the workforce. They don't want to work for nobody else. But they don't have a plan to work for themselves either. Can you see how problematic that can be? You see what I'm saying? Now, don't you have a right to do what you want? Absolutely you do. But, beloved, if you're going to survive, if you're going to maintain yourself, if you're going to keep up with the rest, the pace of the rest of everybody in the game, wisely you need to ask yourself, what are my negotiables and non-negotiables? What are my limits? You understand? There you go. Now, when we talk about winning a game, the focus on winning is the zero sum. In fact, what happens is you are competing against your opponent so that you can cause them to lose advantage or getting close to the prize in the game. So you're really looking for them to slip up. Now, this is an interesting thing because what we find is that people who feel as though they've been deprived and have been hampered in life, they look around and see everybody else happy, and they want them to feel their misery. And they want government and everybody else to join them in their pity party, strike down other people's success and happiness, because look at me. I want you to slow them down so I can get a chance to catch up. Can I say something? Thank you for allowing me to. That's not realistic. If you're going to help me at all, tell me about how I can catch up, keep up, and surpass. See, the good thing is that young people got plenty of energy, and often their minds are sharp. If we put the right subject matter in there, oh, my goodness, they can do some stuff. They can do something. There are a few things that influences games and challenges, and different people have different approaches to games. They can be characterized broadly in three different ways: from a social science approach, from a humanities approach, and the industry approach. In other words, what is the motivation for people to invest in creating rules, regulations and guidelines for just to watch other people compete in them? Is it just entertainment? Is it just for sport? It may not seem right, beloved. I'm not suggesting that it naturally is. It's what's going on, though. See? And if somebody really cares about you, they will tell you the truth about this and help prepare you for the inevitable reality of you being faced by it, especially when you become adult. As a child, society tends to give you a pass if you mess up. Even as a juvenile, if you became a status offender or a juvenile delinquent and you had to be pulled away from the custody of your... It's not permanent, but it's for a time for you to get yourself together, identify what you did wrong, and get back in society. If you stay on the straight and narrow, don't do anything else, and don't have any more offenses, that record is supposed to be sealed, not supposed to become public like your adult record can be. You see what I mean? But if you don't learn how to stop what got you there in the first place, you'll continue doing that in your chronological adult phase. And that's when you start having most of your problems in the criminal justice system. We're talking about this competition, this game, making calculated choices. Let's think about, for a second, broadly, the scientific approach to the game. It concerns itself with the question, generally, what does or what do games do to people? What effect do they have on people? That's what scientists look at it for. Does it bring good or bad out of it? Using tools and methods such as surveys, this is what scientists do. They use controlled laboratory experiments, you see, and even use ethnography or researchers investigate in people's tastes, their interests, their moods, watch a football game or a baseball game or a basketball game, what makes them tick? Sprite and Nike and all of these advertisers have learned well how to get your attention and keep it. Grown males walk around all day, quite often, in certain places, and the only outfit that they have is one related to a game. Chronologically grown now. Can you wear that to work? How much business can you conduct where people will take you seriously? Even if you're a business owner. We're going to talk about it. The number is 657-383-0944. I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk about that. Now, the scientific approach is about how do we figure out what makes them tick. More from a humanities approach, it concerns itself with the question, well, what meanings are there in these competitions, these various competitions? What meanings, what purpose does it have? And then from the industry perspective, where it's all about making that dollar, that money off of people competing against one another, the question that they ask is how can we create a greater or stronger interest in this competition, thereby producing or having profitability? Oftentimes, people don't even know why they find themselves competing. Women compete against one another in their looks, in their dress. Men compete against one another in their abilities and agility. Churches compete against one another for their religious expression, practice. Huh? Social groups compete against one another for being recognized as the most popular order, most needed group or organization. Are y'all walking with me? People, family members oftentimes find themselves in dead heat competition for love, for validation, for praise. It helps to understand that we all make choices in life, but it's best to make a calculated choice. So you're not controlled by the game, but you have some control, if not all control, in the game. Now, the stylistic said it like this. Number 657-383-0944. You listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctor. Making calculated choices in life. I wonder who is it that makes the world go around. This is what the stylistic said.
Oh, I can't take my pain. What's the one that's gonna raise your hand? So they can help to stand.
I'm a...
But that's one thing the world would be.
Go straight to the phone lines. We have with us our good friend out of Jacksonville, Florida. Welcome to Talk Straight, ma'am. How are you? Can you hear me? Okay. Maybe she's muted her phone. I don't know. You're on the air, 3072. Okay, let's see here. I'm not sure what's going on here, but we got her in the, let's see, sometime we've been having some technical difficulties here. Let me see what's going on here. 3072, can you hear me? All right. It looks like we got her in the studio, but I'm not sure why we can't hear her audio here. But we'll continue going and see if we can get others to be able to join us there. I've been having some issue with my live stream feed here with Facebook, so if you've been following on there, I apologize for that. Not that I know what to do about it, because I'm like you. I wanted to play, and we have to just hurry up and wait, I guess. So if you're there, 3072, join us whenever you can. Just get right on in here, and we'll be happy to entertain your questions and or comments there. So, again, our topic here tonight on this June 22nd, 2021, is very simply making calculated choices in life. What is that all about? What does that involve, making calculated choices in life? Well, in short, you know, when you go outside, you can do almost anything, you know? And really, you have rights that permit you to do that. But if you make the wrong choice, the wrong move, it can come back to haunt you. In fact, it can land you in jail, cause you to have major conflict with someone else, because there are these unwritten rules in life that are often determined by the choices we make. And there are a lot of good young people who, for different reasons, are ill-informed, uninformed of these facts. And it causes them basically to have breakdown in communication with other folks. Not just young people, it's some grown folks who haven't learned how to get along with other people. Then there are people, as I was suggesting earlier, that has a vested interest in using science, humanities, and industry to figure out how to keep folks running at one another. Because in the end of the day, at the end of the day, they get something out of it. So they don't want you getting along. 3072, are you there? Okay, let me see if I try this again. Okay, can you hear me there, 3072 out of Jacksonville? All right, I got in the studio. Perhaps you'll join us here in just a little bit. So 657-383-0944, that is the number to call. And we welcome you to join us here in our discussion tonight and allow us to hear from you. Facebook, we were able to get the live feed going again. And so if you can hear us, feel free to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. With a little bit of chance, Pastor Waller will be able to join us and be in the house with us. But y'all bear with me. I'm going to make some changes here. I'm not sure why we're having these technical difficulties. Let's see if we can reach 3072 again. Sometimes things get locked there, and we have to do things a little different. But guess what? That's what I'm talking about, making those calculated choices, the chances that things will go just like you want it, just like you want it. Sometimes they don't, and sometimes they do. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Almond joys have bunch, but mouths don't. You understand what I'm saying? If you're old enough, you understand what I'm talking about. So, but we're calling 3072 to see if we can get her back into the studio. Six five seven 4-4. That's the number to call. As we talk more about this.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system, 615-2433.
Well, perhaps you'll call back in, but you call us now. You call us now. If you follow us on Facebook Live, you're in our group, in the BSE Institute group. Feel free to give us a holler in. Shout out to us there. So looking at some of the current events I see where there is a heightened concern about a lot of the violence, not just in some of the cities you hear about a lot. It seems as though it's starting to spread itself. It seems as though some individuals are coming to the conclusion that their best chance to bring closure to their frustration or circumstances is to take it out on someone else. And in the end, there's a massive shooting and killing. You know, told about a recent incident in Chicago, one here. Road rage is becoming a big thing. Everybody's in a big hurry to get there fast, such that they have little patience in their neighbor and their fellow citizens. Everybody's driving. You got to share the highway. You got to share the road. But people tend to be so impatient, so angry, that they're easily ticked off by the slightest thing. And as I think about what we're in the context where we're talking about making calculated choices and risk that comes in life, you know, as an insurance agent, I can tell you that we deal with all the time looking at various risks that people take in driving a car and owning property, having a home, or even an apartment. Business takes risks. Oftentimes, you can't imagine all the potential calamities or threats that may come, right? And really what you try to do, what you work to do, is to responsibly minimize the chance that you'll have that negative impact, right? And that's really what I'm speaking to tonight. And we'll just go and until either we have someone to join us or we finished our conversation. 573-830-944. That's the number for you to call. And I'll be happy to entertain your questions or comments. As you're following on Facebook Live, I think it's working now. You can feel free to post your question and or comments in the conversation thread, and then I'll be able to share that and respond to it and interact with you in that regard. But we're talking about making calculated choices in life. And for that reason, let me go back to the text that we read. And I want to emphasize something and correlate it to these three concerns or interests from a scientific approach in the humanities and industry, or like engineering, what motivates people to construct or engineer competitions and things of that nature. But the text says, in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, verses 10 to 11. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with might. Yeah. If there's no other lesson that someone who's struggling or striving, I should say, not struggling, I'll say striving, to reach a goal that they've set for themselves, to achieve something. If there's no other lesson or encouragement or motivation you might give them, it would be to make sure if you choose to go that route, put everything you got in. You got a chance to cause it, right? Success requires sacrifice. Say that again, doctor. Success requires sacrifice. That's not about your ethnicity, what color you are. Really not about how old you are, how rich or how poor you are, right? What your social orientation is. Those people who are successful at anything require them to make some sacrifices. Yep. And what the text is suggesting here is whatever it is that you engage in, that you seek out to do. Be prepared to make some sacrifices. Put the work in. Because when we're gone, there's no more opportunity for that. It's over. It's over. We don't have that chance anymore. So we should take full advantage of it while we can, how we can. Okay? And then verse 11 says that the writer speaking, the narrator, excuse me, is suggesting that you observe something. And that is, there is no guarantee that because you have been proven to be the fastest or the strongest, or that you have resources, that you're going to always win. But your winning is by time and chance. Let's look at that for a second. Time and chance. When you think about what time is, it's a cycle. That's measured by speed and distance. Help me hold it though. So how fast you are and how quickly you can move in a certain period of certain distance, right? At a certain speed. That's how we measure time. That's up to you. What we mean by calculated choices. Really, nobody can control your life or the quality of your life but you. You're in charge of that. Now, you don't know how to that energy, how to use that authority, that autonomy that you have. It's good to consult people, life coaches and parents and friends and people who've been successful. Tell you how they did it. And even at that don't mean they should guide and control your life. You hear what they have to say, you weigh it out, and you determine if this is going to work for me, right? If it fits me. Not a one-size-fits-all. Because what the text is saying is that time and chance. What is chance? What is chance? Chance is really reflective of the fact that it can be here. The opportunity can be here today and just as quickly be gone tomorrow. There's a chance that you may capture it and benefit from it today. But there's also that instant that it can be gone. There's a chance that you can be successful. You'll have all the strength, all the energy, all your ducks line up in a row, and you can meet the expectation of the game and be successful. But then there is that chance. Quite oftentimes, we don't really control it, that it won't be there. You can get sick. Loved ones can get sick. You can lose your job. Almost anything can happen. How do you prepare for that? How do you ready yourself for the inevitability of change and chance? Right? So that's what we mean by responsible adults looking at what has happened in the past, what's required to participate in a given situation or field or career, if you will. And then asking yourself, the most successful people who went this way before me, what did they do? How did they minimize their risk? How did they manage the opportunities, the resources that were there? See? And from there, you take a calculated or wise approach to even engaging in something. Well, how do you determine what courses should I take in high school or in elementary school or middle school? Starts with having a sense of what you want to do with yourself. Now, some people may say, that's too early to be asking somebody in elementary school or middle school to think about that. Not at all. And here's why. Because that factors in the decision of what courses that you work toward the greater mastery in. For instance, if you want to go into the STEMs, science, engineering, and math, you want prerequisite courses and to build your strengths in math and in silence. So you want your reading to be on par such that you can take on information, internalize it, and master it on your own and not have a hard time trying to keep up with it. Logical processing is what math deals with in general. Okay? And what happens is a parent is able to get the support or provide it for their children or go somewhere else to get it whenever you need, such that you can focus on those things early. Knowing what your child's gifts are and their natural interests are. Sometimes I use myself as a perfect example, my wife and I, it was kind of crazy because both of our children spent a lot of time letting them experiment, trying to find out what their real niche was. Eventually they got it, but it did require some sacrifice. You know, and a lot of times you just can't afford to give them everything they want and do everything they want to do. But then you have to ask yourself the question, is that choice, that calculator. If this is going to put them on the path for their success, is it worth me making that investment for them? See what I mean? And that's what I'm talking about, making calculated choices in life. Not just for you, but for your children as well. See, how do we get to that point where I know my child has demonstrated mastery in a particular area, and that's a cue to me. If I'm going to buy them toys, I'm going to give them gifts for their birthday or any holidays or anything like that, I want to make sure those gifts, those apparatus are related to their strength, and it provides them opportunity to grow even more. A good example of this is some of your most skilled athletes, professional athletes. You ask them, they will tell you that they have a parent. Their parent had made sure they went to camp after camps after camps at a young age. They didn't just start being good. Now, some of them, I grew up in the housing project in Chicago, and you go out to the basketball court, there was some cats, man, and them Chuck Taylors, they can get up in the air. And they were just naturally talented. You know, many of them didn't go anywhere other than right there. But my point is they had talent. It was natural for them. Right? Gifts and talent come without repentance. But there are individuals who, from a young age, were trained and they were exposed to opportunities to grow and develop their gifts and their talent. See? And at the end of the day, they prove themselves to be to have mastery. They become professional athletes and things like that. And so this is another example of what I'm talking about focusing and making a calculator, adding up the cost. What is the risk? What are the risks, I should say? And what a reward. See, when you make a choice or a decision, three things you should ask yourself. Okay. Whatever this is that I'm interested in, that hits your mind, then you process it. You process it. And you ask, is this really something I want? Is this any good? Do I need it right now? Can I afford it? Should this be a priority for me right now? You see what I mean? And further, if I engage in it, will I be able to continue this realistically? Do I want to continue this? So what are the consequences, good or bad, for my continuance in it? And that's what happens a lot of times with a lot of good people, particularly young folks. A thought hits them. Bright idea, but they jump from the thought hit them to action. Grown people make that mistake, and not just African Americans. No, there are a lot of people who, when they find themselves upside down, figuratively speaking, in a tough spot, and they really stop to think about it and realize, man, how did I get it? How did this happen? I mean, what's going on right here? Then they realize, those that learn, they realize, you know what? I didn't even count the cost on this thing. I didn't really think about this. And really, when I think about it, I didn't even need it. Two good people hook up because they say they like one another. But they never determine that they love one another. To death do them. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, they like certain attributes and characteristics about one another. But there are not enough of them to make sacrifices for the rest of their life to be there with them. See what I mean? Calculated choices in life. Guilty of it myself. Liking a nice car. Yeah. And on the front end, I can get into that car. They'll give me a loan for it. They'll write me up and I can do what. But guess what? At the end of the day, it's really more than I needed. I didn't need that car note that size. I could have saved my little money and bought me a car cash, paid for. And it would give me the same place, the brand new car that I like now, that I really like, that I can't afford will get me. And along with that, law requires in most states for me to have insurance. The nicer the car is, the greater the insurance. You know what I mean? So, what are we going to do, y'all? What are we going to do? 657-383-0944. There's still time to call. We continue our dialogue. You're listening to Talk Straight. Listening to Talk Straight. And we keep the phone lines open here. We'll keep going for a little bit longer here. If you want to join us, Facebook, if you're listening to us online and you'd like to join us, feel free. We'd be glad to bring you in. What I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to a little bit more of stylistics when you talk about people making the world go round, and I'll give you an opportunity to give me a call, 657-383-09. You're listening to Talk Straight, and we'll be happy to entertain your conversation here tonight. And all we ask is that we show one another a little courtesy. Sometimes we don't always agree on everything, and guess what? That's all right, too. That's all right, too. One thing that I have noticed, though, is that I learned something from our dialogue and our discussion. Each night, I sure do. I learned something from it, so I'm grateful for that. So there you go. And we'll be happy to have you join us there with that being said. All right, 657-383-0944 is the number to call. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we've been going for about 45 minutes here, and we generally go for 2 hours, but we'll see where it goes. Facebook, come on and join us tonight by calling 657-383-0944. Be happy to entertain your questions or comments. We're talking from the topic, making calculated choices in life. Making calculated choices. Sometimes, I mean, you just choose. Yeah, you could just jump in head first. But as I was just explaining earlier, there are consequences that come. If you don't look first, down in the water to see if there are rocks, for instance, if there are some sharks in there, any other type of objects that may be injurious to you before you jump in. You know, you may have to jump, but don't dive here first. Jump with your feet. You understand what I'm saying? That looking, processing, and considering, weighing the pros and cons helps you to make a better or wiser choice or calculated choice. We're going to live as long as we're alive. You're breathing, you're living, right? The quality of our life is up to us. And most often, our knowledge base, our social orientation, our understanding, and things of that nature factors into what our quality of life is. One of the major determinants for people being able to get a certain type of job, live in a certain type of house, or drive a certain type of car without it being injurious or stressful to them is having an educational skill that provides for them in that way. We go to the phone lines. This pretty lady is out of Peoria, Illinois. I'm not sure what happened to 372 out of Jacksonville, but welcome, Mama D. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just listening in. How are you guys?
Great, 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 great. Right now is you, me, and the Holy Ghost. Is that all right?
I didn't hear you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
All right. I said right now it's just you, me, the listening audience, and the Holy Ghost that's on the line.
That's all right, man. That's all right.
I've been talking from the topic making calculated choices in life, and from the beginning of the monologue, I emphasized the importance of knowing that it's a chance you're going to be successful what you start out in. It's a chance you may not. The difference quite often is how prepared you are and the sacrifices you make. Feel free to let me know what you think about that. But there are people who work hard, you know, and they put a lot of interest, efforts, and things. And when they don't come out like they want to, they just throw their hands up. Man, forget it. I quit. I don't even know why I tried anyway. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not just talking about young people. I'm not just talking about young people. There's some old folks who met hard times, you know. There's a thing called Baby Huey. He talks about hard times.
I get it. But when you throw in the towel and give up, that means you lost hope. You gave up on hope. I mean,
right.
To me, it means you gave up on hope. And because something don't go right all the time doesn't mean that one time when you done gave up, if you don't try, you will never find out.
That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. When you walk away from it, that may just be the point that things are turning for you. I would always encourage people, 81, 12, to really think about it. Now, you can't wait too long, because if you snooze, you lose too. All right, that's something to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really think about it and you ask yourself from the beginning, what was I looking for out of it? You see what I mean? Was I really doing it because I wanted it? Was this for me? Or was I doing this for something or somebody else?
You know what? A lot of people start off doing things because I believe they feel this is what expected of me.
That's absolutely right. That is absolutely right. That is absolutely right.
And then when it don't go because it's really not something they choose to critique, they're only doing it because all eyes on me. And that don't, a lot of times that don't go so well because you're miserable and the other person or people, I'm sorry, the reason why you even bothering with what you're doing instead of doing something that you wanted to do as an adult, it goes to the left. But do you give up? I don't think so. I think you try to work on you to struggle, even if it's a struggle. And most things is a struggle. And a lot of times, we do want to throw our hands up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think prayer works better than throwing your hands up in the air and giving up hope.
They say it changed things. I heard it changed things.
It really does.
Yeah. You know, my son decided he wanted to play football.
Mm-hmm.
I played a little football. And so, he played in this little mini league. He was like 10 years old. And I went ahead and invested in all of the equipment and everything. And coach told me he did enough. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he went out there. And we played a team. And these little boys looked like they were adults for real.
Okay. I got to tell you like that.
Yeah. And he witnessed one of his teammates get hit and literally had his leg broke. And he said, that's not fair. That's not right. I don't play no more. If it's going to be like this, I'm going to leave. He later played football in high school a little bit more. But I said that to say, I said to him, well, now, you know, your team was relying on you,
mm-hmm.
right? Coach put you in certain places and they trained you in certain roles and things of that nature. I'm not going to make you stay. I want you to explain to your coach why you're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
We've invested all this money. And I could have said, you haven't paid all this money. You're going to play this game. It was not something that he wanted to do, so he didn't invest all the time in it.
And look at him now. He probably liked to draw because he's an engineer. Wow.
Yeah, he does. I mean, very creative mind and things of that nature. You know, he did other sports. My point is, if I would have forced him to keep on doing that, I can see that would have been a negative thing. But we invested in it because said he wanted to. The greater point that I'm making is, it's when people are able to look at it, you know, determine that this is for them, make the sacrifices to be successful in it. So there were other sacrifices that he made that he was very happy with. You understand what I'm saying? And this is just a tidbit for parents a lot of times. It is a sacrifice to set your children up for success.
Yeah.
Especially when you have more.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
As parents, you make sacrifices all the time. And some of them even go against your better judgment, but you try to do the right thing with the kids.
And
sometimes you be like, I shouldn't have listened to you in the first place, but you might not say it to them individually, but you say it to yourself sometimes. But at the end of the day, for the most part, sometimes things work out the way we hope for them to, and sometimes they just really is not even in the plan for that particular person.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And that kind of goes to what I mean in the topic about calculating. You have to add up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People have to consider, what is it going to take for me to do this? Now, we're joined by 4600 St. Louis, as well as Ms. Patterson on Facebook. Thank you guys for joining us there. And we have Mama D from Peoria, Illinois. And, you know, the reality is people oftentimes, many good people are not aware that if you're going to obtain this thing, you're really going to have to sometimes lose a little bit before you gain.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll further explain. But let me welcome St. Louis. St. Louis, how you doing, sir? Question, comment, that's fine.
I'm doing fine. But
okay.
The calculations should be made before, not after.
Agree.
You can't make calculations after because you're adding up failures. You're supposed to make the calculation before you attempt.
Okay. I hear what you're saying.
Bidding a job.
Uh-huh.
When you bid a job, you look at all the aspects of a job that has to be done, and you apply a number to it, which is the cost, the labor, and other things.
Uh-huh.
Well,
okay.
After the end of the job, you start adding up your expenditures and your revenue. And if your expenditures outdo your revenue, something was wrong in your beginning calculations.
I see what you're saying. Yes, I wanted to, you made the reference to adding up failures. I've concluded that if you try and things don't go like you wanted to, right, and you don't give up and walk away from it, it's not a failure, but it's a learning opportunity for you to improve and do better. So failure really takes place when you just give up on it. What do you think about that? Can you see, does that make any sense to you?
Well, failure is when something, in this particular case, failure is something that goes wrong that you didn't anticipate. Now, whether or not that's a crippling failure, it depends on your experience, how to handle and solve situations. If you got a little experience, then that failure would take you out of the game. If you got a lot of experience, you shake it off, make the adjustment, and keep on going.
So the question becomes, how do you choose even a career path? How do you choose a spouse, right? How do you choose a hobby, if you will? Does that automatically come to you, or are these things you have to calculate as well? What do you think about
Well, you talking about spouse? That's a whole different conversation.
Huh.
And we don't have no time to talk about that. You talking about hobbies? When you talking about hobby, that depends on what you call the inept ability or inept desire that a person have. They may like checkers. They may like bidwiz. Or they may like bowling. So that comes from exposure as far as your hobby that you take on.
What about gardening? What about something like gardening or painting? Those are hobbies.
All those are acquired the same way. You're trying to read about it or having a desire about it. If you like certain foods that come out of the garden, then you would do what's necessary to produce those foods. I used to like plants. I turned my whole one room into a botanical garden. Had plants hanging all over the damn place.
Okay. So let me go to 12. What do you think about that, 12, in terms of choosing even relationships? Let me just say, 12, I understand that this is a dicey subject for a lot of people because many people have had relationships that have not lasted like they wanted to. And that's not my intention to go there. I'm just saying that the choice of a career, a hobby, or something like that. What do you think about that, George?
I think people have the right to be able to make a choice and a decision for themselves unless they are a child. Now, once you become a young adult and you're taking care of yourself, you have every right. It's okay if your parents speak against it, but it's not right for anyone to control your life to the point where, no, you should do this, you should do that, because just because someone said to you or instilled it in you, it doesn't mean that you can't do this. Most people send their kids to college, they don't even want to be there.
Wow.
And they wind up being unsuccessful of it, where if they did take a break maybe, they would have decided, well, doing nothing ain't for me. There's a lot of people that made that decision and came out way on top because they went back and completed what they started. Incompletion of anything is not a good thing.
Wow. You know what, 12, you said something, because I've even, when I taught high school, I wasn't a guidance counselor, I was a teacher, but I counseled a lot of students to say that, it sounds like you're not ready to go to a four-year or even a two-year, but you want to get out and work and explore and really find yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. As you're saying, you don't go there and make a flop. Now, we often tell people, well, go to a junior college, go to a two-year and get yourself together. There are people who are not ready for that, but guess what? when they go out there and start working in the real world, they really find their real passion, their real interest. They're able to be a little bit more calculating, you know, where they want to invest their time and attention. So,
yeah,
I think that's a key point there. Then.
Yeah,
and I'm all for it.
I think when people are more happiest with what they've chosen to do and it's turning out, even sometimes they bump their head at what they even set out to do on that end, but they're happier. There's nothing worse than working someplace and you hate it, or being someplace and you hate it, or you dislike it to the point you're only doing it just because. It's, that's a lot.
Yeah, that is a disappointing thing. Like you said, that's the one reason people walk away from. You say, you done put all this in, why are you doing now? Well, they hard work in the first place. They wasn't there in the first place. You know, and the point that I was making in the monologue is that there is always, with time and chance, there's always the potential for circumstances that are unforeseen to really challenge, you know, your interest and your willingness to stick with something, you know. I hear a lot of people say, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a lawyer. And when you look at their exposure to the health profession or the legal profession, not much orientation or attention is given to expose them to those places, to mentors and things of that nature. So a lot of times, even choices in high school and what courses to take, it's not the right choices not there, unless you get somebody that, you know, a good guidance counselor or someone that works with you. It's a challenge for them. St. Louis, you talk about engineering and the lack of people prepared for certain jobs. A lot of times that's the case, and I think a lot of these young people, thank Lord, just don't have the proper orientation and guidance to tap into their real interest that is related to it.
Well, that's cool to store at home.
Yeah, true.
Now, then people are going to say, the infrastructure is not in the home, in the family. Well, then that person is going to have a difficult time.
Right.
No one's saying that they can't come out at some level on the other end, but they're going to have a difficult time. There's a prescribed way that has been tried, proven, and tested that leads to success. Now, of course, there's alternatives. You don't have to drive 55 to get to Chicago. There's other routes you can take.
Right.
But the set and prescribed way, which is more efficient, less obstacle of obstructions, and as far as speed and safety is concerned, Highway 55 is better than those other alternate routes.
Okay. Interesting. Ms. P.S. weighed in from Facebook. She says that we should count up the cost before making decisions, especially major life events, weighing the pros and the cons. And then she also says, we must not forget prayer. Now, I'm going to ask her to elaborate on what she means by prayer. I think I know what she means, but for the sake of our conversation, I will say this, though. Now, if you don't know that it's a concept in psychology called cognitive dissonance. And little babies display this all the time as well. You know how they walk and they can feel or sense that something may be, but they don't know what's around the corner, but they walk very cautiously as if they know something. They don't know what's around. They don't know what it is, but they can get sense something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting how a lot of people, they want to do certain things, but they're just afraid that they don't have enough information to be motivated to go and don't get it done. Does that make sense, Well?
Yeah, it makes sense. Excuse me. Feel like I'm taking a slight cough. I don't have a comment, but yes, it makes sense to me.
Okay. And it begs the question, and I'm going to pose this to all you guys, Ms. B. How you doing, Sister Lewis? Thank you for joining us. It begs the question, should a parent control a child's interest, their natural interest? Should you stifle that? Should you control it, or should you allow them to explore that? Anybody?
A parent should control a child's natural interest. A child's mind is not mature enough to understand the consequences. Should you let a child put their hand on a hot stove door because of their interest in seeing what it's made of, how it feels, even how it tastes? I've seen children put their tongue on a handrail, steel handrail, in sub-zero weather, and their tongue sticks to it. Can't pull it away.
Right.
A parent, that's what a parent's responsibility. I agree with the lady's previous comment that she made about the adding up and everything. I would say she's a right on that. And I don't remember exactly what all she said.
That's what she was saying, is that you got to count up the cost before.
Yeah, you got to count up the cost. Now, she said something about prayer, which whatever type of solace a person needs, then they should resort to that particular type of comfort. But one must remember, in some areas, it's kind of contradictory. Because if you're in a war, you praying, and your enemy is also praying, too, to be successful.
Okay. Interesting. Now, that's interesting, St. Louis, because and there are various faith traditions, right, and there are various religious orders and structures. But the one role that the concept of prayer play in each of them is that it's a driving force and motivation for them to keep going and to have encouragement, right, based on their faith and what it is they invest their faith and belief in. So would you say that maybe somebody wouldn't call it prayer? You understand what I'm saying? But there's some driving force, there's some motivating factor that keep you going. I'm the one that believes in prayer, but I'm just saying, if someone wouldn't like to call it that, they like to name it something else. Do you see that as being an effective way to motivate and encourage?
Well, in a sports team, in the locker room, there's a little pep rally that motivates and puts the players on edge, so they're ready to go. They want to go out there and hit the other player and knock them clean into the ground. That achieves the same thing as some people who would pray. They basically both the same thing.
Well, absolutely. We look like we just lost 8112. We'll give Ms. Patterson an opportunity to respond there. That was the question, Ms. Patterson. Do you think that parents should maybe control is not the right word, but for lack of a better word now, control the interest of their children? And St. Louis, I don't know if I meant specifically control their access to certain things, as I meant their interest in certain things. I want to make that distinction there. All right, we got 12 back here. Because a lot of times what happens is children demonstrate a particular interest in a field or skill set, right? But no one ever invests in them growing and sharpening their skills. So they never really realize it until a later age, really.
That's a dysfunctional parent. You know, my grandson, when he was real young, 2 years old, something like that, I exposed him to some things.
Okay.
I exposed him to drumming, African drumming, and also dance. Well, I looked at his hands, looked at his feet, and seen that he had the makings of being an infielder on a baseball team. So I began to expose him to that. And lo and behold, I guessed right, because he was outstanding and still is at those particular positions that require what he was demonstrating at a very early age so early that when he done a sit-up, he couldn't take his head off the floor.
Right.
That it turned out to be a right guess. So parents, functional parents, knowledgeable parents, should, some member of the family should have that quality that they can take children through semi trials and tribulations to see where their best ability and ability lie. And they have to help them improve on those skills. Speaking a language is not just speaking Spanish, speaking French. Math itself is a language.
Okay. That's interesting. Well, we got 12 back. So 12, this idea, I was going to frame the context for that question. So really, the concept of shadowing, a child and modeling appropriate behavior, because you got to make sure that whatever they do is age appropriate. You don't want to, you know, set them up to fail or to fall by taking on the task of more than they understand or capable of, you know what I'm saying? But as an adult, you know that, you know, they're not able to handle certain things. So you again, coach them in that way to, you know, not to take on more than they handle, but they master it on the level of their own comprehension. That shadowing, 12, I know you have little grandbabies. Have you observed that in any of your grandbabies in terms of them wanting to get out there and do something, but with just a little, not necessarily touching them or restraining them, but shadowing them and kind of being right there nearby for them. Have you ever found that to be a useful tool for you in your observation with your grandbabies? 8112? Uh-oh. Okay, I can't hear
you. I'm sorry. My phone was on mute. I didn't mean to do that.
Oh, no.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. I hear you.
Okay, with my grandchildren, it's different because their parents raising them. I play a role in it. Yes, I do. However, I was watching. My granddaughter insisted riding the bike the other day, and I said, okay. Finally, I gave, like we do at times. So she wound up falling. I know she didn't plan on falling, but she fell. And I said, well, just because you fell, which she wound up hurting her knee. But I pampered her, cleaned it up and everything, and she just hollered and scared me. I was like, okay, you might fall, but you got to get back up. You came in the house, so I know your legs isn't broke.
Hey, man.
And you're going to fall a lot of times.
You all right, man?
Riding a bike. And a lot of people fall in life because they are trying to prove themselves once again, not to themselves. They're trying to prove themselves to others, including grandparents sometimes.
Okay.
And some people, everybody's mindset is not equipped to handle that. Because now you got another problem. Now they do feel like a failure and don't even want to try to get back on the bike and ride again. And a lot of kids have taken their own lives, and young people, middle-aged people, as well as children, have literally killed themselves because they couldn't uphold what somebody else expected from them.
True. That's so true. Okay, bear with me. We have a caller here. 3720 is joining us. Welcome, caller, to Talk Straight. We're talking about from the topic making calculated choices in life. And I'm coming right to your Facebook. Give me 1 second. Welcome to the conversation there, caller.
Hey, Pastor Doctor. I'm just tuning in.
Okay. You done pulled a fast at him. You called from another number. All right.
All right.
Well, yes. you heard our topic. Let me go to Facebook right quickly. An interesting point. She backed up and explained what she meant by prayer. And she said that we should seek God for direction and guidance in making decisions. I would agree with that. She goes on further to say parents should guide and support children as it relates to the child's interest. Now, that's interesting. Because I think that Ms. P gets us close to the shadowing that I was making reference to. She says, controlling just may cause burnout and resentment toward the parent and the thing that they were interested in. That's a heavy point right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens quite often. And watch, one of the reasons, Ms. P, that some parents unconsciously control their children is because they don't want to have to keep up with their growing and developing interests. Either because they don't feel as though they know how to engage in that skill, or they master themselves, or it's just too much sacrifice for them. And that's the key right there. That's one of the defining characteristics of a parent, is knowing that you have got to provide your children the opportunity to grow, and that means tapping into their interests and making some sacrifices. That's the big piece right there. A lot of good people miss out on that. And as a result, their children lose interest. This happens a lot of times in schools where a child is very bright and they advance far ahead of their class. And the teacher, because the teacher doesn't have time to give them individualized attention, they cause them to stay back and wait on everybody else. And that bright, intelligent child just shuts down. Most of the time is manifested in acting out inappropriate behavior. That happens all the time. That's one of the things that really need to look at in terms of particularly young folk that get in trouble, as we said. She says, Ms. P says, indeed, or some parents live vicariously through their children. Now, she said vicariously. Simply what she's saying is, as opposed to them not being able to have the opportunity to explore that particular skill set and do it themselves, they want to relive their life through their child. And it's not for you, that's for the child. Now, you get out the way now. The child got to do that. You understand? And I use my son as an example with him in football. I didn't spend all that money on that equipment. It was about $250 worth of equipment. We got shoes and cleats and all that stuff, man. But I wasn't going to make him stay in it. He came back to it later on in high school, but I wasn't going to make him stay in it if he didn't want to be there. But I did want him to understand that you don't just walk away and quit without, letting the team know. I'm not leaving y'all, but his thing was he saw how there was unfairness in the little league that he played in. And it was ugly. The little boy got his leg broken. Boy looked like he was 25 years old running up against a 10-year-old. It was an ugly sight. It was an ugly sight. But, yeah, so 657-383-0944. We still have time for you to give us a call here. And basically we are talking from the topic, making a calculated choice in life. There are some people who get up and they don't really have a focus or direction for their day. They just go with the flow. How helpful is that? Pastor Weller, how useful is that to just get up and you don't have no particular focus? You just go with the flow, whatever comes. Is there any danger in that, Pastor Weller? He may have muted his phone there. Because I know he's got it. What about that 8112? You see any danger in that, in not having any kind of purpose or direction for your day?
I see a lot of danger in it.
Okay.
Because you need to be focused at anything that you do.
Wow. Yeah. I don't feel like thinking about nothing today, St. Louis.
Mm.
I don't want to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just leave me on the field. I just want to see. I'm just hanging out. Mm. Is that a... What about that thing, Lord? I'm just hanging out.
That's why there needs to be... The subscription should come back. The draft. There should be a mandatory period that young people are required to serve in the military.
Mm.
Because if you don't instill into young people, that can be very dangerous. in time of war.
You mean
there's nations out there, mindsets, groups that want to destroy you in one way or the other. We've seen it in the past many, many times. So you have to be available and able to meet the calling. If you're out there on the battlefield, and when the instruction is given to go forward, and you look and see what's there and decide to turn and run and go the other way, well, you stand to be shot for desertion.
What?
Deserting your position.
Here's the only problem, as you know, with the draft, and that is there are people who conscientiously, objectively disagree with, you know, going to war. You understand what I'm saying? And what I'm hearing you infer is that part of your patriotism to the nation is to be prepared to go to war for your country. Am I hearing you correctly?
Well, absolutely. You have a conscientious objection to war, but your enemy don't. And they're going to kill you.
Well, interesting. You know, I had a young man come in to sell, trying to sell me a product. And I'm coming to your Facebook. And we got Josh joined us as well. Give me 1 second, Josh. And a little young guy. He was over in Okinawa, Japan. That's where one of my nephews, is a Marine. And he talked about his experiences there. A little young guy. I said, wow, you've been around the world already. I think he's like 24, 25 years old. Says, you've been around the world already, man. You done some things. And it was interesting how, to your point, St. Louis, he was of the opinion that, hey, I wanted to serve and I wanted to keep my nation safe. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, yes, he's in Okinawa at this period in history, which is a whole lot different than the period of history in the 1940s. Okinawa was a place that was tantamount to hell at that period in history.
Yeah. Of course, they have that military base over there now. You know, the U.S.
That's because we won the war.
Yeah. Okay. Josh, I'm coming right to your Facebook. Josh, welcome, man. We're talking from the topic making calculated choices in life, not just jumping in the head thinking about it, Josh. Welcome to Talk Straight.
Welcome.
All right, sir. All right.
I have a lot of differs about what he just said.
Okay. All right. Tell us what your position is. That's what we'll look. We'll consider your position, and then the listening audience can draw their own conclusion. So what specifically were you talking about?
I'm tired.
You can, in the Bible it says there's a time for war, there's a time for peace, and there's a time for other things. So right now I think we're at peace. So there's a time for every action that we do. You get me?
Okay.
There is a time and place for what every action that we do. Every action.
True. Okay. All right. I can see that. But now, when it comes to motivating children or young people in general in our society to be responsible and accountable, right, and even to assume the responsibility for their community, their society, for their nation. Do you think that's necessary, Joshua?
Well, of course, but there's multiple different tactics than just warfare. Too many people get shot on themselves, get shot during warfare. So think of something else than getting your own self getting shot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it might be a mistake, but it's still you have gotten shot yourself.
Right. Right. Well, let me
pose then another point before you say anything is everybody thinks they are supposed to be winning. They think this is the good side. So over there, they think they are doing good.
Right, right, right. That's true. Well, now, shouldn't you think good about yourself? I mean, shouldn't you consider yourself a winner, man? Who wanna call himself a loser? Josh, come on, man. I mean,
nobody. I'm just saying. Nobody. Everybody thinks they're doing the right thing. So why can't we just sit around the table, per se, and talk things over instead of shooting ourselves in the foot every time?
All right. So you're talking about a kumbaya experience. Hold on 1 second, Josh. I wanted to go back to something you were saying about the war and what have you. Now, I think it was early 1700s in Europe. It was called a total war. I want to say about 1734, so total war, where this was where people were literally fighting outside their door in military or combat type of experience. This was in Europe, albeit. And the point is that at that point, everybody had to come out with sticks. And if they had them, musketeers and weapons, Josh, it was a total war. They were literally fighting door to door. We haven't had that in the United States of America, but I think the point that is being made is that there should be, I'm not sure if I would agree with a draft being legal again, but there should be some encouragement for people to think about, you know, protecting your neighborhood, your community, your society, your state, and your country. Josh, I think you're right that we can sit at the table and we can have a healthy discussion about to what extent should people be able to choose their involvement in that. But that's a good conversation, Josh, because we got a lot of young cats right now. They got a lot of unchanneled energy, Josh, and all they're doing is taking that energy out on one another.
Yeah. That's not right. Like, they get out on a boxing bag or something. They get out on something else. They get out on something useful.
I see what you're saying. I see. Well, but okay. Now you provided a different perspective than what St. Louis provided, and I'm glad you did that on Talk Straight, because we got two things away here, you know. I wonder sometimes if some of these guys need to be in some sort of structured discipline thing to where they're not being self-destructive, you know what I mean, to one another, or you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. And I talked about earlier how it seemed to be in a crime wave across the country involving largely young folks. And that's somebody got to do something. Somebody ought to do something. But Pastor Waller, can you hear me? Going once. So, all right, 81-2. Come on in, Pastor. When you get a chance, I know you probably had your phone there. 81-12. Let me ask you this question. I'm not picking on you. But, you know, that's something I know pretty ladies would know the answer to. You understand what I'm saying? So you know where I'm coming to you, right, 12. when it comes to people having the power of individual choice. At what point should there be a line for them, in your view? When it comes to individual choice now, the people making their choice, at what point should there be a line?
There should be a line draw when it comes to law and order. There should be a line draw when it comes to, I mean, common sense. It's just some things people just do. They just react. They don't think about it. They just do it or say it out your mouth. So self-discipline is a point where we should draw a line at certain, you know, certain on certain decisions that we make. Always, everything has a place, like Josh was saying. And all this unnecessary killings and people just doing things because they think they can. No, I don't approve of that. No, I don't think that's right. I don't think all of it started with their parents. I don't think all of it started with them being in a deficient home. I mean, insufficient home, I'm sorry. Or the, whatever you call it, dysfunctional home. There we go.
Yes.
Everything that people do does not always start at home. Because a lot of people do a lot of things as grown-ups that their parents didn't even, wouldn't roll over in their grave if they were deceased.
Okay.
The thing that they raised a child that would do certain things like that. Well, it was their child then, but as adults. But when you got little bitty kids out here, especially those in the urban America area, a lot of times, as I've heard and I know for a fact, a lot of grandparents that are lost themselves are trying to take the slack off their grown children.
Sure.
And they're trying to do the best they can with them, even though they lost their own self.
Yeah. Interesting. That wow. You said something that made a lot of point. I'm coming right to you, Samuel. I was working through the juvenile court. My organization was a referral base there. And there was this grandparent doing just what you were talking about. Her real struggle, was trying to correct where she, in her view, went wrong with her daughter, with her grandchildren. And, you know, a lot of times she couldn't even keep up with them grandbabies like she wanted to. But she was trying to make good on, in her mind, where she perceived she went wrong with her daughter. And it got better. It got better because the daughter did come and regain custody of the children and things of that nature. But it was a struggle as a grandparent, struggle for her. So that's a real deal there. St. Louis, I think you were trying to say something.
Well, no, that's what I heard is a dysfunctional family. As far as what they should do or what you would expect to be done, the responsibility and accountability is not there, then things run awry.
Okay.
Conscription, drafting is a good thing. It started putting a young man, now they want women to be engaged into it, into a position where they can experience trials and tribulations. You test yourself to the limits. If you got to run 5 miles with a 40-pound pack on your back, if you got to crawl through mud, you got to get up and make your bed up, get up at 3 o'clock in the morning for whatever time reveille sound, you have to go to bed and the lights is off. That's instilling into you discipline, and you showing accountability. You learn how to work with a team and be accountable.
Right.
And here's the thing: the reason why comes you have to prepare for war is because your enemies are preparing for war all the time. If you're number one, everybody's shooting for you. Nobody shoots at you, or should I say, want to challenge you when you dead last. Because if they challenge you when you dead last, that would make them lesser than you.
I see what you're saying.
So other nations and other factions around the world is shooting after the United States. They're preparing to challenge the United States. You can see it. Look at China. China's building up a military. Why?
Now you know, St. Louis, that the U.S. is 250 years old, 248 years old now. And
32.
We got some issues ourselves. But that's not a conversation.
But you don't know all the picture, though. You're only exposed to what's suitable to be exposed.
What do you mean? Right quick.
Well, you're not privileged to confidential information. Why it happened?
I'm only speaking as a student of history, and in this case, United States history. And many of those things have been declassified now in terms of the United States' role in a lot of things that have happened internationally over the last 200-some years. That's all I'm saying. But you're right. I'm not privy to classified information. That's true. That's absolutely right. But, again, when you look at the history and it tells a story on itself, history has a way.
Yeah, well, when the United States went to war, I would challenge anybody to say why they shouldn't went to war. There's always some underlying reason that's never brought out. Just like this Juneteenth thing. Big bamboozle. People like to hear things. People hear things and they run with it, depend on where they heard it at.
I got you. That's a whole. Okay, we. I get that. That's a deeper conversation for another day. Let me go to Facebook. All right, Josh, give me one second. Stay right there, Josh. Facebook says there should be a line drawn with individual choice when that choice negatively affects or impacts another or a group of people. I think that's well stated. That you don't get to choose that you can step on my blue suede.
There you go.
You can step on Joshua's blue suede shoes, but don't step on mine. You know what I mean? Stay off of my blue suede. But yeah, that's the point well
said.
Josh, go ahead. What's your question, bud?
I was about to say something to that caller. I was about to say when we were rolling the boat I forgot how long ago, when it was finally time for war and stuff like that, and we were done rolling those boats, we didn't have a chance. We were chosen and we accepted those guns. We didn't have a chance. Actually, we were shoved and pushed to live in a society like that. That's all I have to say.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate you sharing that. I'm looking at our time here. We've been talking from the topic making calculated choices in life. Yeah. Now, some people may say you just live life, man. You go with the flow. You know what I mean? If it don't fit, don't force it. just relax and let it go. That's, I mean, live life to the fullest, you know what I mean? Here's the thing. Those people who are successful and who have demonstrated success, various things, they did it by calculating the choices they made. And oftentimes, I'd go so far to say every time, those choices came to sacrifice. They didn't have time to just hang out and have fun like other people were. They were busy. They were busy working toward their success. And it's interesting to me how people look at successful people and have the tendency to turn their nose up and say, you ain't all that. You just like the rest of us. Well, I would argue that successful people take extraordinary measures to be more than just the norm. That's what makes them successful. And in the context of our conversation, it would be helpful if we had more people in our social organizations, in our churches, and everywhere else encouraging that mindset. Not looking for excuses, not looking for fights, but channeling your energy and your resources and building yourself, choosing things that are useful, that you're really interested in, right? And identifying your real skill set and making that work for you, making that work for you. Let's see. Josh, were you trying to say something? Pastor, you there, Pastor Waller?
No. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Pastor Waller, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Pastor. I'm on the line. I'm just listening.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on?
Great. I was going to ask you in terms of choices that people make on a day-to-day basis, is there a spiritual element to encouraging folk about the choices they make? That's what I was going to ask you.
Okay, Pastor, you say on a day-to-day basis, say that again about the day-to-day basis.
Is there a spiritual element to encouraging, motivating, counseling people on the choices that they make on a day-to-day basis? Or is that something that just comes naturally with everybody?
No, it doesn't come naturally with everybody. I mean, it's a spiritual knowledge that's available. But I was talking to a friend of mine just now, and I was saying that if a person is not asking, then you don't force it on people. And so, yeah, it's a lot of spiritual knowledge, and, you know, it's some elements that can be, you know, corrected. It's some elements that can be increased. You know, it's just a whole lot to fit in there. But if you utilize the Word of God when you talk about daily, and that's the key. See, it's not one day a week, and what has happened, a person will go into a place one day a week for a couple, 2 or 3 hours, and come out, and then the enemy saying, now, I'm going to have you to dance with me the rest of these days. Matter of fact, you're going to dance with me, you know, quicker when you come out of the church because you really haven't got nothing to handle me, you see? And if you don't have nothing to handle the enemy with, man, listen, I visited the church one day, you know, and I know it was about 2 or 3 hours that they was in there. And I had no knowledge of nothing up in there. I was just in there listening. I was just, you know, wondering why I was even in there. But I heard a few powerful words that I took out of there with me. And the whole week I was thinking about those few little words, you see. So you have to understand that, yeah, there's some spiritual guidance, some knowledge that can be accomplished. But it's all about who's putting it out there, who's sowing the seed. You know, the enemy sows seeds as well. Yeah, the enemy sows seeds, does it very well. And then get people to apply it daily. So it's not easy, brother, to embrace spiritual instruction. And when I say spiritual instruction, it's something that can get you rooted, grounded, and settled. And then you have to learn how to deal with it. And in my case, I'm talking about my experience. And I'm not talking about no opinion because I wouldn't be able to be right or wrong. I don't know which one is right and which one is wrong. But if I tell you that this is an experience that I had, you know, I was looking for some spiritual knowledge that could help me. I didn't want to go to church just because they were having church and people were having fun. That's not why I went in there. You know, you have 7 days a week, 7 days in a week, man. And I'm going to need something to hold me up each and every day. So all I had was three words, God is able. You know, can you imagine a visitor, you know, coming out of a building and all he have is three words, but those three words meant more value to me than having nothing at all. I couldn't handle everything else they were saying. So I took that and as a babe, desire to send some milk of the word, just feed me like a babe. And that's what happened. And now, you know, I'm at another level now. I can deal with it a little stronger. You see?
Okay.
And I say this and I turn it back over to you. I turn it back over to you when I say this. There's a scripture that talks about, you know, some people in the churches are puffed up as though I'm not coming to you. But he said, but I'll come to you shortly if the Lord's will. So he said, I'm not going to come up there and break up your fund. But if the Lord's will, I'll be over there. That's the only way he's going to come. I'm not coming because there's a lot of people over there. I'm not coming because the church is pretty and it's sounding good and it got all this and that. And I'm not coming for that. But when I come, I'm going to find out if you got power over here. If you don't have no power over here, I don't need to be in here. The enemy has beat me down so many years, man. I don't need to be in there playing church.
Okay.
And that's why the word say the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So it's not just about talking words. It's like, do you have any power from the words that you're speaking? Other than that, it won't help a person like me. I'm strung out. I'm captured by the enemy. I can't get loose. And all I'm hearing is some pretty words sounding good. No, I need something to break these strongholds, brother. That's spiritual for me.
I guess.
It said in that passage, we say if a person is overtaken in a fault, he who is spiritual.
Yes, sir.
Restores up the one in the spirit of meekness. You know what I mean?
Right.
So in other words, considering yourself lest you be tempted also. So in other words, if you're spiritual and then I don't have no power, you should learn how to teach me to prepare me because it could be you still out here without power. So I'm not going to disrespect people that are weak, man. No.
Okay.
If I'm spiritual, I'm not going to deny it. Because I remember when I was not spiritual. I was weak as I could be, you know.
Okay.
And
all right.
But now that I am equipped, I'm not going to deny it because that would be doing a disgrace to the Lord, man. You know, the Lord said, I didn't get you out of there what you was in. You know, brother.
Pastor, I got 6 minutes. Let me do a round robin and stay right there. 8112.
All right. All right.
About
30 seconds.
Yeah, okay. Well, everybody have a blessed week.
Thank you all
for listening once again. And
yes,
have a good night. And I'll try to listen to the rest of the panel.
Okay. We appreciate you. Thank you so much, Steph.
All right,
Josh, you have anything you want to add before we wrap up here?
Yeah, it's the is awesome, and as the Lord is to do all of that.
Okay. We appreciate you joining us there, Brother Horton. Appreciate you, and we look forward to engaging you in the future there. All right, St. Louis, what about it, sir? Thank you for joining us here tonight on Talk Street. Final thought before we wrap it up for tonight.
Well, you talk about calculated risk, and one was historical.
Mm-hmm.
As the United States military finally took Iwo Jima,
mm-hmm.
then the next spot was Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
But they calculated it would take over 1 million lives would be lost in invading Japan. Because at that point in time, Japan was at a height level where they would fight to the death. And they was demonstrating that with kamikaze pilots that would crash their planes into ships, killing themselves and trying to kill others. So the calculated risk led to them deploying two atomic weapons, one on Hiroshima and one on Nagasaki, which brought the Japanese Empire to her knees and to the treaty table. That was a good calculator, Riz.
I see. Okay. Well, all right. Well, we appreciate that, sir. Appreciate you joining us here tonight on Talk Straight there. And as with everyone there. Okay, we've been talking from the topic, making calculated choices in life. That's something we'd like to encourage you there. We had Facebook on with us there, and I don't think you have any final thoughts. So, Pastor, why are we going to turn it over to you, sir, and give you the last few minutes here to get us right.
Okay, you said you're ready for me to wind it down, Pastor Doctor?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I just
want to let you know, man, keep up the good work, brother, and always remember, for those who had a chance to talk, also for those that were just listening, we thank God for you. I want to leave on this note right here that the Bible says, where there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing, that he said he would be in the midst of us. And see, this is the beautiful part about life, man, to be able to put him in the midst, because without him being in the midst, we're just talking loud and saying nothing. And I know good well, man, that no substance in that, brother. So I always want to include him because, you know, even when I need to be chastised, if he's in the midst, the Bible says, who the Lord loves, he chastens, man. And so I just always want to keep him in the midst. That way, everything's going to be all right, man. Just keep the faith and keep fighting. And watch God do for you what you can't do for yourself. I yield back to you on that note, brother.
That's preach right there. That's preach right there. Wow. Thank you all for joining us tonight here on Talk Straight. On behalf of our co-host, Pastor Waller, we'll see you on Thursday for another episode of Talk Straight there. And with that, we will bring our this episode to a close.
It's starting?
Okay. So we're going to listen to Tremaine talk about...
Yeah.